This morning to John chapter 17. Again, we'll be preaching from the doctrine of Christ and showing how Jesus was dependent upon the Father to restore His glory, that dependency upon the Father, something He had missed, He was missing it, and something He had with the Father before the foundation of the world, and He longed to come back to that. John 17 and 5, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Now notice, Jesus had laid aside the position that He had with the Father before the foundations of the world, and He longed to have it back. He had it, but He stepped aside from it, and now is asking for it to be restored to Him again. Most notable is the fact that He stripped Himself of all privilege when He came to earth to take on the form of man. He emptied Himself out completely, and He took on the nature of a bond servant. The Weymouth translation says, although from the very beginning He had the nature of God, He did not reckon equality with God a treasure to be tightly grasped. Nay, He stripped Himself of His glory, and He took on Him the nature of a bond servant, a man like other men. As a bond slave, the main attribute expressed is submission to the will of the slave owner. And that is exactly the bride of Christ, what she is going through right now. She is longing for her right position that she had before the fall. We're going to get into that in just a moment, where Paul speaks of how all creation is groaning and travailing, and we ourselves groan and travail, looking for that which we know we're ordained for. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, knowing that You're wrapping up all of this earthly experience, Father, the thousands of years that man has been upon the earth, the thousands of years Your children have learned to yield themselves, have learned to walk and be led by the Spirit. And Father, now we're at that great hour that, as Brother Branham said, the rapture could go through us if we're not aware of it. It'll be so common or so natural. Father, may it be a natural thing to be a Christian, to walk as a Christian, to talk as a Christian. And may our lives reflect, Father, what You have placed in our lives to reflect, and that's the seed germ, which is the seed germ of Thy Word, and the life that is in that Word, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from the breach, Brother Bram said, now something's lost and it's groaning. It's trying to get back to the original condition again. Would you imagine someone falling from the earth down into a deep pit somewhere and it was struggling and climbing and pulling? They must by some means get out of that pit. They're not in their original state, and frantically they're screaming, they're clawing the walls, making a noise or doing some way. They're groaning because they want to get back to their original state. And in the book of Romans, Paul speaks to us of this groaning and travailing, that all of creation is groaning, including ourselves. And Brother Branham tells us it is because we are longing to come back to a rightful position which we had that had fallen in the garden. In Romans 8 and verse 1 we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what exactly is this law that Paul is speaking of here? He calls it the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Well, if it is a law that concerns life, the Spirit of life in Christ, then he has to be speaking of the law of life itself, which is the law of reproduction, which is Genesis 1:11. that says every seed shall bring forth after its kind. Then if that be so, he's telling us here that this law of the Spirit of life in Christ must produce the same nature in us, if so be that we are in Christ. Then as Brother Branham said in the spoken word's original seed, he said, then the kind of seed that you have planted in your field will be the kind of crop that you will reap. If the denomination wants more members, that's what they're going to get. That's what they've gotten. The Pentecostal wants more Pentecostals. That's what they've got. They're going to get. That's right. But the word's going to produce sons and daughters of God. That's coming too. Now watch. Look at that great ladder rain supposed to be done. How that they would run over the wall and leap over, and how they'd be an army coming. Just wait a minute. The kind of crop you'll get is the kind of seed that you put into your field. So what's he saying? He's saying what you preach for is what you're going to get. If you will preach for super duper, then your people will be looking for super duper. They'll be trying all kinds of fanaticism. But if you preach that the nature of Christ, the nature in the life, the character and the attributes of the original seed will produce in other seed that same nature, that same character, the same attributes, then that is what it will produce. Sons and daughters of God in the image of the firstborn son. Also from the spoken word's original seed, Brother Branham said, I'm a Branham because I was born of Charles and Ella Branham. That makes me a Branham because I'm their seed. Their two agreements with their sperm together made a seed, and that made me. When God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God, it produces God. It's not the individual, it's God. For what? You are dead, and you're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's a seed germ like the beginning spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man. Then it isn't the man. It's the man that's died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. So if he's a son of death, give it over to the devil and let him kill it. Give over to God a minute and let him kill the devil that's in you. Run him out. Hollows you out. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more. It's God's life. It's God's life. Because it's God's word. Water by the Holy Spirit will produce the same thing. You see it? I just love to preach on that for a few minutes, but with 30 or 40 pages of scripture here, I've only got three so far. All right, and from spoken words, original seed, he said, then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same seed, word of God. God's son was his example seed, and what his life was, when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will, with the same watering spirit of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same things that he did. If it's the same seed, son of God's seed will bring forth a son of God's seed. Now, the Apostle Paul continues in verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, he's talking here about, he's not talking here about the law of life of the Spirit of Christ, but rather the law of works that men can and cannot do in his flesh. He said, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in his likeness, in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness or the right wiseness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now he's not talking of the law or commandments, but the law of life of the Spirit that was in Christ is what is to be fulfilled in us. In other words, what does he mean when he says the law of life of the Spirit of Christ? He's talking about there's certain laws or certain principles or certain things, certain standards, certain natural characteristics that are innate in the nature of the Spirit of Christ. And he said that will be manifested in us. You see? The problem is most people are not willing to just let go and let God. You see, if that life has been planted in you, then just let go and let it have the preeminence. Let it take over. We've got to learn to just let go. Yield to the Spirit. But, you know, man's got a better way, they think. That is why they will. That's why they'll obey the word outwardly, but inwardly they'll fuss and complain. Martin Luther's book on the Romans, he said, God judges what is at the bottom of the heart, and for this reason his laws make its demands on the innermost heart and cannot be satisfied with works, but rather punishes works that are done otherwise than from the bottom of the heart as hypocrisy and lies. He goes on to say, in quoting Paul, he says, no one is in his works a doer of the law. For although you keep the law outwardly with works, from fear of punishment or love of reward, nevertheless, you do all of this without willingness and pleasure and without love for the law, but rather with unwillingness, under compulsion, and you would rather do otherwise if the law were not there. And God won't accept that. So Paul is speaking to us not of the law as though it is something that could be fulfilled in the flesh, for he is speaking of the law of the Spirit of life, which cannot be fulfilled by the flesh unless all that is done is from the bottom of the heart or from the inner nature of the new creation in Christ. So Paul is telling us that the purpose of Christ's coming was to release the Spirit back upon us, that the right wiseness of the law of life of the Spirit of Christ might be fulfilled in us who walk after the Spirit, or are guided by the law of life of the Spirit. In other words, every seed after its kind. In other words, you can't make sheep grow pigskin. They can push and grunt and strain and everything else, but they'll never grow pigskin. They'll never become a football or a basketball. You see? Not that they want to be. But the thing is, like Brother Branham said, you can't force a sheep to manufacture wool. It just happens. You live a Christian life because it's in there to live out. You see? He goes on in verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now look, the law of life says each seed after its kind or nature. So if the seed sown is after the flesh, then of the flesh you shall reap. But if the seed sown is after the Spirit, then the things of the Spirit you also will reap. For, he says, verse 6, for to be carnally minded or carnally focused is death. But to be spiritually minded or spiritually focused is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So the carnal mind cannot be subject to the things of God because it is at odds with the things of God. Different natures altogether. So then, verse 8, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh if the Spirit, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, this should make it very clear that he's speaking of the law of life, where each seed will and must bring forth after its own nature, its own characteristics, its own attributes. He says, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, then the life that comes to maturity will be God life in you. And verse 10, and if Christ be in you, now he's not talking about Jesus, the man, but if Christ, the anointing of God, the God life in be in you, the body then becomes dead to you. But the Spirit comes alive because of right wiseness, because of a correct way of thinking. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now who raised up Jesus from the dead? God did. So Paul is saying here that if the Spirit of the life of God be in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now this word quicken means to make come alive. So what he's saying here is that the Spirit of God in you will also make your body that you're living in now come alive to his Spirit, life that is in you. In other words, you die to the nature of your flesh and the nature of his Spirit living itself out in you takes over the preeminent position in your life. Then you do not sin in your flesh because your flesh is governed by his Spirit that is alive in you. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. In other words, if you through the Spirit do kill off the deeds of the flesh, then you shall live. Because it is no longer you that's living, but Christ is living in you. As Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm crucified. I'm being killed off. Nevertheless, it's not me that's living, but Christ is living in me. You see? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And this is where we want to get to today. This is where I want our focus today. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Now, from expectation, preached in 1961, Brother Branham says, sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, not led by some other fanatics or some organizations or something or another. They're led by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has given to the church to be the overseer, the tutor that was to raise the children of God, not our bishops, cardinals, and so forth, but the Holy Ghost. I'm expecting the Holy Ghost, not denomination, not a bishop, not a Catholic priest, not a Baptist preacher, nor a Pentecostal preacher. I'm expecting the Holy Ghost to come down and set in order a church that'll go to medium filled with the power and the resurrection of Christ. I'm expecting that. I believe it. God promised it, that there'd be a church there without spot or wrinkle on it. I'm expecting it because God said it was so. Someone said to me, Brother Branham, aren't you afraid you'd make a mistake some night out there on the discernment line? No, sir. He told me he'd stand by me. I'm expecting him to do it. That's exactly right. Aren't you afraid some of the prophecies would be wrong? If I was afraid, I'd quit saying it. If I wasn't, and I didn't have confidence in the one who was speaking to me, but I'm expecting it to be that way. He said he'd do it, and it's never failed yet. And it never will, because I'm expecting him to keep his word revealed by the Holy Spirit. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now, what about you and I? Are you led by the Spirit of God, or are you led by the pocketbook, or are you led by peer pressure, or are you led by others? From led by the Spirit, he said, and now one of the most wonderful things of God and the Christian, the connection of the fellowship between God and Christians, is that they are sons of God, are led by the Spirit of God. But the greatest thing I found in Christian life is letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you, and his work is marvelous. Can you recall? I hope it's on a daily basis that you're being led by the Spirit. So like I said, you know, years ago I said, you know, you should make yourself a little book. Just a little memento book. You know, if God has a book of remembrance, you ought to have a book of remembrance. Because there are going to be times when it seems like the Spirit of God is pulled away. And perhaps it's just times of trial and testings. That's when you pick up your little book and you realize how many times, how often God has been with you, dealing with you, showing you things, opening doors, closing doors. You see, in Psalms it says, in Psalm 1 verse 6, it says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And the word perish means, it's a word abod, and it means left to themselves. God don't leave his children to himself. You know, daddies and mommies, they stick with their kids. You know, they don't let them go out and play in the street and do everything else. You know, they're there with an active participation. You see? And so is our God. From the Word became flesh in India trip, Brother Brown said, and they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Then when the human element goes out, and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy, where you empty yourself, amen, then will be when the church in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus will walk in his steps, in his power, in his thoughts, in his being, in his moving. You see what I mean? Then your thoughts will become words, and words will become material. That's when the church is in its power. I believe it's on its road. That when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from themselves that they don't see themselves. They don't have no thoughts but to serve God, and their thoughts move on. They refuse the things of the world. They just move in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost, that great, wonderful church will go forth with power and deity, because deity will be revealed in human beings by the Holy Spirit, bringing to pass the very thoughts of their mind. As Brother Branham quoted when Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, be moved, not if I say. If you say to this mountain, be moved. Why? Because your thoughts are so in tune with God's thoughts. It's like years ago, I got down to pray and I said, Lord, I said, if you would just give me the opportunity to have 50 laptops, you know, and I'm working on this thing, but, you know, however you would do it, Lord, if you would just get me 50 laptops, I'll get them out, I'll load them up with a doctrine with all of Brother Branham's, you know, words and the pictures and all that stuff, and I'll get them out there so that there'd be 50 churches that'll have all of Brother Brown's material. 2 hours later, I was sitting in a meeting, and the guy said, before we talk, he said, I just want to tell you that we got 2,000 laptops that we sent out to the school district in Philadelphia. And 2 hours ago, he said, I got a call from headquarters, said they sent them out a week ago Monday. And on Friday, they got a call from the school district, said they don't want them. So do you know any nonprofit organizations that want them? Listen, before you ask, he'll answer. So I found that it wasn't my asking, it was God putting in my mind to ask. It's God working in you to will and to do. You see? In other words, you're getting out of your own thinking. You're emptying yourself out. You're yielding to God and saying, God, what would you have your servant to do? What would you have your people to know? That's all it is. Just emptying out. Father, it's not what I want, it's what you want. I'm just here to serve you. And so they gave us that, and they said, you know, how many would you like? I said, do you know any nonprofit organizations? I said, well, I was praying 2 hours ago to headquarters, my father. And I said, I asked him for 50. He said, if you want 50, you can have 300 if you want. I didn't ask for 300. I said, well, I only asked for 50. But if you got some extras for parts in case things go wrong, and so they gave us 80 or 85, I think it was. You see, that's how God works. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. All things. There's not one thing that can happen to you as a Christian that won't work out for your betterment. Not one thing. You say, oh man, I just wish they wouldn't have done this. Wish he wouldn't have said this. Wish that. Listen, it's all working together. Don't run away from the testing. Don't run away from the trial. Don't run away. Don't be afraid when all men shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake, he said. Because great is your reward. Listen, all things are working together for your good. It's bringing character. It's bringing the life of Christ. It's bringing out the nature that's already in there by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You see? We're not talking about fanaticism here. When Brother Brad's deity will be revealed to human beings by the Holy Spirit, bringing to pass the thought of their mind. He's not talking about fanaticism. We're talking about the Word of God, for Jesus said, my words are spirit and their life, their truth. As Brother Ann pointed out, he said, not your own thoughts. You have died to yourself and are alive in Christ, and He is the Word. From Ephesians 2 and 1, it says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespass and sin. What does it mean? You hath He quickened. He's made alive. Alive to what? To His Word, His thoughts. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins, that's your unbelief, and your uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having given you all forgiven you all your trespasses. Now, if God can throw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, can't we do the same? Can't you throw your mistakes into the sea of forgetfulness? From leading of the Spirit, Brother Brown says, that's the same thing that they say that anybody who takes God at His word, they say that they're crazy when they're led by the Spirit. But sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will always bear witness of the word being the truth. No matter what the people say, the word's right. You see? Oh, I love the word. Faith has to anchor on the word, what God says. Then Paul says in verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now listen, this statement in itself is, you should dwell on it. Because when fear comes upon you, it causes you to anxiety and all these things. Forget it! That's not the spirit from God, that's the spirit from the devil trying to bind you. We should be the most relaxed people in the world. Brother Brand knocked seven times and said there's relaxation under the seventh seal. We know what's coming down. We know what God has for us, the glory He has for us. That should be our focus, not the things that are happening all around us. Listen, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, he walked right to Him. And on the way to Him, then he began to see the other things happening, the big waves and all the stuff and the circumstances. And he got his eyes off of Jesus, and what happened? Peter sank. And Jesus reached out His hand and brought him back up again. And they walked back to the ship. Oh yeah. Get your focus on the right thing. Not on all the diabolicalism that's happening in the nation and the nations. And all the economy going down. You wonder, am I going to be able to make it during that time? Forget it. Forget it. Think about Him. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are good report. if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You see, well, I don't feel like praising God. Well, you ought to just praise Him anyway. It's not what you go, you don't go by feelings. You see, you do what's right. Righteousness is doing right. Okay? So you don't have to try to prove anything to anybody. God's own Spirit will bear witness for you. Let's read that again. Then when you have died to yourself and following only the leading of the Holy Spirit, He says, then the Spirit, God's Spirit, will itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I don't have to do anything to try to vindicate that I'm a son of God. God will vindicate that I'm a son of God. His Spirit will bear witness with my spirit. He'll do. Look, what does it mean to bear witness? It means to testify. God will, in a supernatural way, testify that you are His. Amen? All right. So you don't have to try to prove anything to anybody. God's own Spirit will bear witness for you. That is what He's saying here. God's own Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. It's not what you do, it's just what you yield yourself to. Then God, through His Spirit, will bear witness for you that you are indeed His child. From perfect strength, Brother Branham said, you're a Christian when you are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, not until that. And you're yielded completely to the Spirit. And if you're not yielded to the Spirit, then you're not born again and you don't have the Holy Ghost. Now listen, if you're not yielded to the Spirit, then you're not born again and you don't have the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there's no Holy Ghost to yield to. He's not in there. Amen? From Jesus Christ the same, He said, well, if the devil can take a man yielded perfectly to Him and make him two or three times his strength, what can a man that's yielded to the Holy Spirit, what can God do for him? How many more times can He make him strong? A man that can't move is paralyzed. The Holy Ghost get a hold of him, straighten him right up. A man that's so weak he can't raise up. Listen, as a young man, 26 years old, not even 26 because I turned 26 after I married my wife. I was maybe 24 years old. Anybody in here 24 years old? There was a man who was paralyzed. He was due to have two of his discs taken out. We went to pray. I went with some friends. We went to pray. It was one of the girls in church. It was her father. We went to pray for the man. I prayed for the man. The next day, the doctors came. They said, there's nothing wrong with your discs. We can't understand it because these x-rays that we had and these pre-x-rays, you know, the x-rays they give you right before you go into surgery, make sure everything is still the same. They weren't the same x-rays. He was now healed completely. He walked home. They brought him to, he lived out in the country. They drove him home. He walked down his lane to his house. Completely paralyzed. Now let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's not my ability. It's not what I have in me. It's God's Word. And when Jesus said, the works I do, I'll do also. He's not saying, look, you can manufacture these things and do these great things. He's saying you yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Yield yourself to the Word. Do you believe the Word or do you believe what men say about it? Now listen, people can tell you all, they can be sitting all around you. Unbelief in every single person you talk to. You could be the only person that believes God says what He says, says what He means, and He means what He says. And God will honor you for that. And all the others can pray up storms and nothing will happen. Why? Because they don't believe it's for this day. I do. From Jesus Christ the same, He said, well, if the devil can take a man yielded perfectly to him, make him two or three times his strength, what can a man yielded to the Holy Spirit, what can God do for him? From Revelation chapter 4, He said, and can anything happen to a Christian without it, without it's for the best? No, no. Whatever I got, I surrender myself to Him and just do what He says do. That's all. Sometimes it's very contrary to the way I think it is. But I know if He's leading it, He's smart. He knows what He's doing. I don't. So I just let Him do it, you see? And then it's just all right, see? I just let Him do it. That's it. Brother Neville, you sir, just let Him do it, see? He's the one who knows what He's doing. I don't, see? So I just don't try to have any great big flowers and things and I just humble myself and say, here I am, Father, anytime you want me. So just go right on like that and it always comes out right. Now listen, You people know, and especially some of you brothers on the job, you rack your brain, rack your brain, rack your brain. You can't figure something out. Then you say, you know, I haven't prayed. And you stop, and you commit the thing to God, and just like that, why didn't I think about that? Because it's not your thinking now. It's God's thinking. Amen?
Amen.
And what happens? The answer is there. The pieces all fall together. I spent 2 weeks on Christina's house trying to figure out a circuit, and I couldn't, for the life of me, do it. The other day, I called Brother Russ Evans to come down, and before he even got there, I prayed, and I said, Lord, you know, I'm just doing this for her to help her out. Would you help me? Listen, not only did I get the one circuit, I got the whole house just about done in just an afternoon. You know, when you step aside and let God do it, God knows more about electricity than any man will ever know. Amen? Okay, from Anointed Ones at the End Time, he said, now, I want you to know this is sure, and you that listen to this tape, you might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. But I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to do and am determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down in the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he's doing it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. So when we talk about these things and talk about the nature of Christ, if you've got the seed of God in you, the nature you will have, the fruits you'll have, the works you'll have. I'm not talking about what you can do. You can't do nothing. But God can. And Brother Brown said, it wasn't me. It's just what I surrendered myself to. He said, I'm just a voice that he used to speak it. I just basically narrated the play-by-play. I'm not the one out there kicking those field goals, or I'm not the one out there, you know, doing those works. I'm just there narrating play-by-play what he's doing. You understand? From here you hear me. He said, it isn't me that sees those visions of those people. I'm not the one that operates that. It's you're the one that operates that. You say, Brother Branham, tell me about it. I can't. I don't know. See? If you're the one that does that, it wasn't Jesus that healed the woman that touched his garment. It was the woman's faith in him that healed herself. Why? Thy faith hath saved thee, Jesus said. Jesus didn't know who she was or what was wrong with her or nothing about it until God showed him. She just touched his garment. See, thy faith has saved thee. Not I healed you. Your faith did it. See, that's the difference. And from Jehovah Jireh, he said, what you do, it's a gift. You just yield yourself. I have a way of doing it. That's my own secret between me and God, and I was born to do it. Now listen, he was born to do that. You're born to do what you do. You know, the great artists, I'll just talk about that for just a second. The great artists, they don't sit there and mechanically lay out their drawing. Not the great ones. The great ones just start drawing by inspiration. Michelangelo saw an image in his heart, in his mind. And he saw this piece of block, and he could see that image right in that block, and he began to chisel away what he saw on the block. And he was so excited when he finished polishing everything else, he struck it on the knee. He said, speak. You see? It's inspiration. You all have talents in different areas of your life. You all have different gifts from God. Don't seek what somebody else has. Learn what you've got. Develop that which you've got by getting out of the way and letting and just yielding to it. From how can I overcome? He said, now, don't struggle. Don't press in. Just yield. The greatest athletes, they're fluid. They don't catch that one-handed football catch because they're thinking about it. It just happens. They stick their hand out and there it is. It's a natural thing to them. Just as natural as you're sitting in the pew this morning. It happens because that's the way they're geared. You can take a child that's not given the gift to run, train him every hour of the day, and he'll never be a great runner. Or he might be a good runner. Mechanically, he's got it all down. But he'll never be the great one. They're born with those gifts. Musicians, they're born with the gifts. My oldest brother was given the lessons, but he couldn't even hold a tune. He didn't have the gift. So my parents wasted money giving him piano lessons. I was the one that should have given the piano lessons to. But I never got the lessons. So I have to use my voice instead. Well, anyway. From How Can I Overcome? He said, now don't struggle. Not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God. Just let God. Just yield yourself to Him and walk on with a perfect, satisfied faith that what God has promised, He's able to perform. I like that. Just yield. If God promised it, shall not all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord? Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, aren't you afraid that you might discern wrong? No. I'm yielding. He promised He'd be with me. He says, you know who I'm waiting for. I'm not going to attempt to try to discern you. No way. Oh, I might have a gift there, but you know what? I could err with a gift. But I'm waiting for Him. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, didn't He tell you all the same thing? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Then He's there when you need Him, calling Him. And you know what? When He's not, when you don't need Him, calling Him anyway. Like that song, He walks with me and He talks with me. And He tells me, I'm His friend, you know. I like that. Walking with the King. From Jesus arose, said to the newcomer, here's what happens. Here's what it is. It's yielding to the Spirit of God. Just yield yourself. It's a way perhaps that you'd never be able to do it. Probably I'd never be able to do what you do. But God has put us all in the church for some purpose, for His purpose. Now, I would never attempt to discern. It's not a gift that God's given me. I mean, I've got, as a Christian, we all have a certain discernment of character, a certain discernment to know right from wrong, but not to know the secrets and intents of the heart. That's Hebrews 4. That's not even the works of Christ because it's not a work. When Jesus said, you know, the works that I do, that's the word ergo, which means a labor. You don't labor to discern. It's a mental thing. God is a passive faith. God gives it to you without you even trying. That's the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see? But like Brother Branham said, I'm waiting for Him. He said, to the newcomer, here's what happens. Here's what it is. It's yielding to the Spirit of God. Just yield yourself. It's a way perhaps that you'd never be able to do it. Probably I'd never be able to do what you do. But God has put in His church for some purpose, for His purpose. And from their eyes were opened. He said, and God set some in the church, first apostles, then prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, all for the perfecting of the church. How could we turn one down and say that the other isn't so? God does it Himself. It's nothing. It's nothing in the world but just yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes over from there and you don't know what you're doing. It's the Holy Spirit's sovereign work. Like Brother Branham, they said, Brother Branham, is it possible that you could pray and or you could speak the word and the bride would be ready for the rapture? And he said, well, that's a nice thought. But I said, what you're failing to recognize is that I didn't ask for those things. You're saying that because of the squirrels, speaking the squirrels into existence. He said, but I didn't ask for those things. Those are sovereignly given. You see? So, yes, it can happen if I yield myself to the Holy Spirit and God tells me to speak the word and get you ready for the rapture. Yeah, it could happen, sure. Because all things, whatever God puts His mind to, it shall be done. And no man can lay their hand upon it, you see. So, here's the thing. Find out what lays within you. And just yield yourself. If you want to be a help to others, because Brother Branham said, he said, I'd rather have a favor with God that He might let me be of service to my brothers. That's what eternal life is for. It's living for others. Amen. You live for others. Others will live for you and for others. You know, can you imagine a group of people that are so living for each other? I'd rather have that than anything in the world. I'd rather have a handful of people who's so in love with each other and with Christ than to have a church a city block long, city block square, filled with people. No. I'd rather have those that are in love with Christ Jesus, in love with each other. That's what it's all about. From stature of a perfect man, Brother Branham said, yield yourself, and after a while you break away from yourself. Now listen to this. Yield yourself, and after a while you break away from yourself. There comes the vision. Go to such and such a place and such a thing. See, it starts off from meditating your mind on God. See, not on yourself, not on your problems. Your mind is on God. Out of the world, away from the world, out in the wilderness to yourself, and it starts coming. One, and I say any number or anything, just something starts gradually, faintly coming in. Then it comes faster and faster. And you sit there and you raise up your hands. You don't say a word. Just hold your hands in the air. First thing you know, your whole being is caught away. Then you see things that He wants you to know, showing you things that is to come. Sometimes it comes up to a spot until a certain spot, and then it stops. It doesn't go into vision. Then scriptures just pour together. I grab my pencil so I won't forget it and write it down. Write it down, and I come home and I look it over and study it, and sometimes it don't even make sense to me when I'm looking it over. And then after a while, here it is. It strikes, and away it goes again. Then I get a little book like this and just start sketching down just as hard as I can what He tells me. I thought, Lord, I'm going down to the tabernacle and tell them, and I come down and I got something for them. Well, that's how it comes. It's exactly until first He gives it to me, I cannot give it out. So then upon these little sketches that you see me looking down upon, and this first that I started, I didn't get this part here until just about a day or two ago up in the woods. See, so Brother Branham was just telling us, look, it's just yielding yourself. You see, if you empty out, then God can fill it up. Then what God fills it up with, you can give out to others. From Jehovah Jireh, part 2, he said, and a gift is just to yield yourself. Like you pull yourself in gear. Just like this microphone here. Turn it on, something has to speak through it. It's just a little gear I turned on, a little thing. The Holy Spirit, I don't turn it on, He turns it on. And then He speaks, it's not me. Now be reverent and believe, each one of you, and just pray. You see, he said, this thing is just mute. But something's got to speak through it. And when that something speaks through it, this thing's not doing anything. Jesus said, the Son can't heal. He can't do nothing for what the Father shows Him to do. From It Wasn't So from the beginning, he said, what about the visions on the platform out through there and over the country, wherever it is? It's yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, getting yourself out of the way, your own ideas, and just be led by the Spirit. That's right. I know there are some who think that a prophet is the only one who has a gift to yield himself. And that is so far from the truth. Every son of God who has a sixth sense will one day learn how to yield to that sixth sense. In fact, if a man is called by God to preach, he knows that if he can just get himself out of the way and let go of his own thinking, then God can take over his mind and feed the people the spiritual food that's needed in due season. But it takes a letting go and letting God. It's an ability to simply yield your mind to His mind. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. In fact, Brother Branham said from his sermon, Infallible Proofs of His Resurrection, he said, it's yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, and He anoints it. Just like any minister comes to the platform, he's got his subject on his mind. He yields himself to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit preaches through him. That's a pastor, a teacher, or evangelist, an apostle, operates in the same way. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, it isn't whether I touch you or you touch me, it's whether you touch Him or not. I'm just a man, see? And what could I do standing here? Looky here, this microphone. You hear my voice through it. But it's a complete deaf mute unless there's something speaking in it. Is that right? So would I be a complete mute, nothing to say, unless something speaks through it. You just yield yourself and the Holy Spirit goes to work and confirms that Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And He said, the things that I do. Now listen, for the newcomer, Jesus said, I don't do nothing unless the Father shows me first in a vision what to do. St. John 5:19. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father doing, that doeth the Son likewise. Well, what about when Jesus said, the things that I teach, He said, the Father commanded me what to say. Is that a vision? No, it's the Father commanded me what to say. Commanding is verbiage. It's words. Father said, now you go do this. Well, you say, now I'm not a prophet. That's right, you're not a prophet. I'm not a prophet. Well, then I don't have visions. That's right, you don't have visions. I don't have visions. You could have visions, but you don't. And so you say, well, now, so how can I, what can I yield myself to? He's given us His Word. Open His Bible. That's the Word of God. Begin to read. You'll find, look, there's many times. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you needed to hear from God? Anybody? All of us? How many of you have ever been in that condition? You opened His Bible and right there was your answer. Amen? Now, why do you think you opened to that particular passage? Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. You've been led by the Spirit of God. Huh? Now, was it that difficult? No. You needed help. You needed to hear from God. You needed a touch from God. And what happened? You yielded yourself, said, Father, I need to talk to You. And you opened that Bible. And you just begin to read, and there's your answer right there to your problem. Now, did you need a vision? No. His Word. If His Word can create the universe, if His Word can raise up the dead, if His Word can grow everything that's growing out there, if the Word can sustain the world, then can it sustain you? Hallelujah. Elijah didn't get a vision in the cave. And he didn't get instructions by a vision in the cave. The Bible tells us that it was a still small voice he heard. God wasn't in the lightning. God wasn't in the earthquake. But he heard God in that still small voice. So God's instruction to you doesn't have to come by visions and dreams, and such as did with His prophet, because you already have God's Word to tell you what to do and what not to do. Even Brother Branham, you know, we often think, well, the angel must have told him every step of the way. No, he didn't. And sometimes you find that you feel like God is pulling back. That's only to see what you're going to do. He's still there. He's watching. But Brother Branham said God gave him a little gift to be able to look in nature and see things. And he said, and I look out and I see the way things are going. And I take it back to the Scriptures and I have my answers. You see, Alpha repeats in Omega. You see things happening in the church world around you. And you say, why is this happening? Go back to Alpha and you see it in the book of Acts. You see it in the early church. You see what's happening. You see? It's just that simple. We have God's Word. This is eternal life. Jesus said so. And it speaks of Him. So just rest in His Word and listen to what He has to tell you. And be like Brother Branham was, so much of God on the inside that everything he saw, including the little rustling of leaves in his car, he took it as a sign from God. A word from God. A touch from God. You say, well, what are you doing, preacher? Why are you teaching this stuff? Listen, what I'm trying to do by God's grace is to help you to learn to just let go. Stress is killing people every day. It isn't cholesterol that's killing people. Or God would not have made your body to produce cholesterol. Or get it from your diet, the things you eat. Your brain feeds on cholesterol. It needs cholesterol to thrive. A study posted on December 13th of 2010 in the Archives of Neurology. I've got the numbers here. We'll put it on the web. It finds that having a high level of HDL cholesterol lowers risk of Alzheimer's disease. HDL stands for high density lipoprotein and helps to clear away the LDL, which is low density lipoprotein, known to cause narrowing of the arteries and clots. People who lose weight typically lower their LDL and increase their HDL. Previous studies have also confirmed that high HDL cholesterol lowers risk of heart disease as well. So the higher your HDL, the lower risk for heart disease, the lower risk for Alzheimer's. What is Alzheimer's? Your brain has been starved by your diet. So if higher HDL levels are good for you, then how do you raise them? The answer is by eating a low GL diet, which GL stands for low glycemic diet. In other words, a low carb diet. and then just supplement with niacin. Niacin not only lowers cholesterol better than any drug, but it also raises HDL and helps unblock arteries. And niacin is a natural thing. But these statin drugs are no good for you. They're starving your brains of cholesterol and doing your body great harm. Don't listen to those doctors about those things. They don't know what they're talking about. Just look at the facts. Doctors live on the average 10 years less than the average person. So what do they know about diet and health? They know how to... Listen, I worked with 180 doctors and I know they had the worst diet, most of them. They for crying out loud, if I can use that phrase, they would go to McDonald's and have a Whopper, or not a Whopper, what's that thing with all the junk stuff in it? A Big Mac. They would go and have a Big Mac for lunch, and then they wonder why they have a heart attack and die on the table and have to get resuscitated. They don't know diddly squat. Is that proper to say? They don't know diddly squat about diet, about nutrition, about what makes the body tick. But look at the facts. Doctors live an average of 10 years less than the normal person. In fact, I think it's higher than that. So, all they know is how to turn off your body receptors. But that's like unplugging the check engine light so it doesn't annoy you anymore. But that check engine light is there for a purpose, and so your receptors that were given your body, they're a signal that your body's in trouble. That you need to deal with the root cause. Now listen, you clip that little check engine light off and you don't hear that ding, ding, ding anymore or that light flashing. So the noise goes away for a while and then your engine drops dead. And when you take those drugs and the receptors are no longer working, the symptoms are no longer there, and so you say, well, I'm feeling better than I did before, but you're feeling nauseous because of all the chemical interactions. Get off of that stuff. Totally get off of it. It's killing people. Causing people to, instead of having their cholesterol, sure, the cholesterol goes down. And then they come down with Alzheimer's. And they come down with because they're starving their brains. The statin drugs artificially shut down the receptors that are warning you of danger, but it isn't the receptors or symptoms that kill you. It's the root cause that kills you. Currently, over 60 million Americans are on statin drugs prescribed by their doctors. 60 million Americans out of 300. That's one in every five. It used to be. They said, well, men, if you have cholesterol over 240, you should go on statins. Then they revised it. With the help of the drug industry. Well, anybody, male or female, over 200 should go on statins. Why? Nothing wrong with 200 cholesterol. Cholesterol doesn't kill you. It's the stress that kills you. Stress is what kills you. We talk about avoiding certain kinds of foods. But what about drugs that are being prescribed that will destroy your health? The problem, and this is another quote, the problem with statin drugs is that cholesterol is an important component in the body for maintaining cellular health, and if inhibited by medication, can cause the body to develop blood sugar problems, edema, mineral deficiencies, chronic inflammation, difficulty in healing, allergies, asthma, reduced libido, infertility, and various reproductive problems. And that's just the problems caused by inhibited cholesterol production in the body. That doesn't even take into account the dangers of statin drugs themselves. The most common side effect of the drug is muscle pain and weakness. One study found that 98% of people on Lipitor develop muscle pain and weakness. Other side effects of various statin drugs include peripheral neuropathy, tingling, numbness, weakness and pain in the hands and feet, nerve damage, liver damage, heart failure, dizziness, memory problems, lower intelligence, cancer, pancreatic, depression, and suicide. That's the side effects. That's in the real small print that by the time you think you need statin drugs, you can't see anyway. Got to have glasses. So they make the print so small. I heard a years ago, I heard an advertisement on the radio. And they said, this drug is, should be prescribed by your doctor. And then they had a guy that actually sounded like he does auctions, that kind of thing. And he went through the whole thing, and he said, side effects are neuropathy, tingling, numbness, weakness, and pain in hands and feet, nerve damage, liver damage, heart failure, dizziness, memory blocks, lower intelligence, cancer, pancreatic, depression, and suicide. And I thought, well, what in the world would somebody want to take this thing for, to maybe lose a little weight? For crying out loud. I mean, you ought to cry out loud if somebody's on drugs like that. But the Bible tells us it is stress that kills you. And in this hour of great stress, we need to learn how to relax. This age is so nervous and uptight. You don't know how to relax. Listen, husbands and wives. When the husband comes home and he's stressed out, or the wife comes and she's stressed out, just stand behind them and just start rubbing their neck a little bit. Just singing some psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Turn on the voice of God. That'll relax you. Turn on some Holy Ghost-filled music, not this stuff they call Christian music today. Put on the old-fashioned gospel music. That's the stuff that'll soothe your soul. When Saul was having his depressions, David came in and played for him. Martin Luther said, music next to the Word of God is the greatest gift God has given to mankind. And this is the hour of great stress that we need to learn how to relax and enjoy our lives that God has given us. Isn't it funny that you work your entire life, you beat your head, 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 and then you get so old, you finally said, I'm too old to beat my head anymore, so I'm going to retire. It ought to be the opposite. You ought to work when you're old and relax when you're young, when you can enjoy your life. We're under the curse, so we have to work. But listen, the thing is, get your lives focused. Get your lives, just balanced out. There ought to be a time of, like it says, a time to live, a time to die, a time to this, time to that. For everything there's a purpose, a season. You ought to have some music in your life, some relaxation in your life. Make sure you have family time. Make sure you have God time. Make sure you have play time. Make sure you have work time. Have a balanced life. We find in the scripture that we're warned that there's coming at the end time, a time that will be so full of tension and stress it'll be hard to bear. We're also told that the anxieties of life will be self-consuming everyone on the face of the earth, and friends, we're there now. From 2 Timothy 3:1, from the Amplified Version, says, but understand this, that in the last days there will be perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Now, people out there are going through a great deal of stress. Now, you all might have a little bit of stress here and there, but none of you is out of work. God is providing your ways. You go to some of these large cities like Los Angeles, New York, 15% unemployment at least, and actually the nation on average. The government tells you it's at 9%, and that's nothing but a lie, because that doesn't include those people that have just given up hope looking for jobs. Doesn't include those people that are only working part-time. Doesn't include any of that. There's a website called Shadow Stats. And the Shadow Stats, they take the way that they used to determine things. Just like inflation. They're telling you that there's a 3.6% inflation. You know what the real inflation is? It's 11%. You see? Why? Because the same guy that advised Jimmy Carter and got it up to 20 is the same guy advising this guy. That Polish guy, what's his name? Brzezinski. That's right. Zibzu Brzezinski, whatever his name is. I can never get that right. But anyway, so here's the thing. If, in fact, we're living in these times. God ordained that we'd all have to go through these times. Yet He also provided a way out. And that's trust in Him. Just yield to Him. From the maniac of Gadara, Brother Brown said, you can completely submit yourself to the Holy Ghost and no affliction can hold you. You know that? You walk by the power of the Holy Ghost, you are well. You give your testimony, everything else. You're healed by the power of the Holy Ghost. You that's sinful, that maybe drink and smoke and gamble and do those things like that, you say, I can't give them up. Brother Branham said, I can't give them up, Brother Branham. Yes, you can. You just submit yourself to God one time and just yield your whole self to God and watch what takes place. That's the whole thing. There's no secret to it. It's not hocus pocus. The only thing it is submit yourself to God. Amen. There it is. And then it's not yours any longer. It's the Lord's. The Lord does it after that. Aren't you happy that we have the opportunity to do that today? You know, it's not just Brother Brown that says that. Several of us went up to Solomon Wiki, a very well-known iridologist that has a real gift, the other day. And he said, you must turn your troubles over to God and then forget about them. That means don't keep digging them up. Just turn them over to God and forget them. Place them in the sea of forgetfulness. Look, if God has a sea of forgetfulness for your sins, and God can take your sins, and God, who knows all things, can put them in a sea of forgetfulness, why can't we put things in the sea of forgetfulness? Why do we want to be reminded of things that are not pleasant? Why would you want to bring... Why would a person want to flagellate themselves? Take a whip and smack themselves? That's not God. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption. You see? Whatsoever things are pure... That's for starters. Whatsoever things whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. From Jehovah Jireh. Now, lady, you're standing here for something. I don't know you. He does. You know I don't know anything about you and don't know what you're here for. But what you do, and he says, now, what do you try to do, Brother Branham? I'm yielding myself. That's why he talked to the people. Just yielded himself. Did the Bible say in one place, behold the lilies of the field? That's in the Bible. What does a lily do? He toils all day and night just to yield himself to the bees and to the passerby to give up. He was made a lily. God makes honey. So he makes the lily to give out the honey. He gives gifts into his church. We just yield ourselves. We yield. Now think about that. The lily struggles up through the mud, comes up. The bee comes by. He lights on him, gets a little nectar, takes it back to his little honey, his little home. Produces honey. The lily, he just yielded. He's got a gift, nectar. He's got a scent, so the bee can smell the nectar and it comes to it. Our prayers in the Bible are called, you know, they're called the odors of the saints. Not odor like, you know. It's a pleasant odor. It attracts the attention of God. And they just yield. From the Message of Love, he said, what? Now, if I said I could heal you, I'd be telling you something wrong. I cannot heal you. What is it? It's a gift that I have from God, that God gave me. Not somebody laid hands on me. That don't work. Gifts and callings are without repentance. You're born with them all your life. The Bible says so. See, Moses was born a prophet. John the Baptist, 712 years before he was born, he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. God told Jeremiah, before you was ever conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you, sanctified you, and ordained you a prophet to the nation. See, it's God's election calling. Not that you're any better than anybody else. We're all the same. We're just children. But God has chosen some to be one thing and some another. And if you pick what God has chosen you, then you can yield yourself and that spirit will work through you. Just like these ministers here. Well, they're called preachers. They don't get up here in the preacher. I'm not a preacher. I wouldn't say that I was a preacher because I have no education. But some man there could get up here and preach still. And when they're preaching inspired, they yield themselves to the Spirit of God. They have a way of doing that. From the great warrior David, he said, so it's just whichever way that you base your faith, if the doctor says it's finished and you believe that, that settles it. That's right. But if the doctor says it's finished and you don't believe it because God says something different, watch what happens. See, just depends on which way you let yourself go, who you yield your members to, that's whose servant you are. And in closing, from then Jesus came, Brother Branham said, the last days we're living in, the great teachers and things. Someone asked me not long ago, has the teachers been wrong? I said, an illiterate person, I wouldn't want to say the scholars are wrong. What they taught as well, but they didn't just go far enough. It's yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit, not to create a bunch of fanaticism, but to create a solid gospel that rests right here on God's eternal word, and God is obligated to back up His word. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that You are who You are, and You've given us Your word. Yes, Lord, we know we don't have visions. Some may have dreams and things to comfort us, but none of us are a prophet to interpret those dreams. So we just know, Father, that You give us music to comfort. Sometimes You give us dreams to comfort. That's fine. But the main thing, Father, is that You've given us Your word. And You've come down in this hour and You've manifested Your word to be so. And Your prophet told us that you interpret Your word by bringing it to pass. And so, Father, we know, as Your prophet said, if we want to know if we're in Your divine will, it'll be revealed to our heart. We'll see it in the scriptures. And then we'll watch it come to pass. And as it's coming to pass, then we know that which You've quickened in our heart, that which You've revealed in Your scriptures, is from You. Because we see it actually coming to pass, that is the manifestation of the revelation. So, Father, help us, Lord, to, just like Elijah, listen to that still small voice. Help us to know who we are, what You place us in the, and why You've placed us in the body, what gifts that You've given us to be used in the body. And help us, Lord, just to love one another and to love You. For John said, how can we love You if we don't love one another? So, Father, help us not only to love those who love us, but help us to love those who despitefully use us. For we ask this humbly in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And help us, above all, Father, just to rest and relax and just to yield to Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I love Him because He first loved me.
I love Him, I love Him because He first loved me.